Rusty Quill presents.
For the best listening experience, we recommend headphones.
Previously on What's in the Rift.
Court's going to get up and balance on her toes to try to get as close to the vent as possible to listen.
This
I know that my boss is very concerned that we're not making enough progress. And he's very upset that everyone managed to escape. Again?
The orderly looks at you as he hands it to you and says,
Listen, I don't think Helen's gonna say it, but if you get taken back to Chicago, it's not gonna be good for you. I got in a little bit of trouble for the last one. You might not remember me, though.
I have a few inklings, Jeff.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just saying. Doorway at the end of the hall? If you can find a way out of here.
Shaking off the initial bits of grogginess, she turns to you, Tosca, and says,
Where the fuck are we? And what happened?
Tennessee, bruh.
Do you know what's at Manchester, Tosca?
Yeah, like a holding center or whatever. We know that Court's there. That's what we know. Or that's what we think we know.
Yeah, but why?
Oh, fuck, you want to know why? You want to know why I'm running from them? Because they fucking killed me, okay?
None of this makes sense.
I'm a time traveler.
Lady, you just said you died three times and were living other lives and ate shit out of troughs. Like, I think we're past the point of sense.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, please don't be loud and explosive. And she's going to pour the other container into the bucket.
Okay.
And leave the door cracked open.
Do you pull the fire alarm or...
You know what? Court would pull the fire alarm. Court realized that she fucked up, and whether she gets out or not is secondary to not having a bunch of people die in the facility.
Court is noble.
Court. I'm so glad to see you again.
What's in the Rift is intended for mature audiences. This show includes death, drug use, criminal activity, and a consistent undercurrent of existential dread. Any children discovered listening to this show will get the hammer.
Our story continues with Court Faroque outside of the Manchester, Tennessee UCRI facility, bouncing off of a man wearing a black jacket accompanied by two bodyguards. She is just gassed the building that she has exited, pulled the fire alarm, and is making a break for it. Court, when you bounce off this man, you knew that Dima Volkov was on his way. You'd been forewarned. But you don't really have a context for who he is. You had no forethought as to what Dima Volkov might look like, right?
Not at all.
You can tell almost immediately that that's who this is. And whether it's the giveaway of the bodyguards or the general presence or air that he exudes, there is a threatening aura about this person. And he stops and turns and says,
Gorth, are you going somewhere?
Well,
I was going to get out of the building. You'll see there, I think, a gas leak of some sort, and it makes my eyes water and burn. You should probably not go in either.
Why are you out of your room? Because of this gas leak?
Okay, those two things are related, yes.
Are you all right, Kurt? Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm feeling all right. My eyes burn a little bit and my nose is running. But I think I made it out in time.
And Kurt is eyeing the door and nervously shifting between Dima and the door. And has anyone gotten out since Kurt left?
No, you don't see any movement in the building at all, in fact.
I'm kind of shocked nobody else is, there should be more people out here now, right? Like, it's not just me.
He looks back over his shoulder, and he gives a little shrug and turns back to you and says,
"No coat tonight? It is bound to be a little bit cold."
I lost my coat back in Florida. I'm a little upset about it, so that was a sore subject. But you didn't know, so it's fine.
I am sorry.
And again, she's eyeing the door and getting more and more antsy.
Oh, no, it is okay. How are you this evening, though? Out for a nice stroll?
No, Kurt. I am coming to see you. I was informed that you had been recovered. I am here to ensure that the proper measures are taken this evening.
So you are Dima?
Yes, of course. Of course.
Okay.
You and I know each other.
I don't have a lot of memories right now, so I'm not even going to play around with this. So you're going to have to remind me on a lot of information as we talk.
This is to be expected with your condition. I understand. All I can say, Quirk, is that if you are looking to run again, it is a very cold night. There are Koyos machines everywhere you would go, and I will find you quickly through them. I want to help you, Quirk. But it is very difficult to help you if you do not want to be helped.
Okay, no. Yeah, you make a lot of sense, Dima. What you have said is true. It is cold out. One of those weird machines with the Oracle lady will probably find me. I get that. But right now, nobody has left this facility yet.
Quartz.
And it's starting to really freak me out.
Come inside the facility with me. I promise you, everything is okay.
In the building that has...
What was it this time? Did you burst the pipe? Was it mustard gas?
Okay, it was me.
Kurt, I know it was you.
Wait. No, go back that last one.
What? Mustard gas? Was it chlorine? There are only so many ways you can generate this. Did you find a way to generate ozone again, maybe? Trigger the methoxetamine?
It was mustard gas. I generated ozone?
Right.
No, that should not... Sorry. No. I tried to create an irritant, but I created something much worse. So that was on me.
Wart, come inside with me. Walk with me. Please.
He turns and walks towards the door. His bodyguards, one of them, the larger of the two, takes a step to grab you, but he stops and turns around, almost as if sensing it, and kind of puts his hand down to call him off.
Please, come with me.
Okay. But just because you are very confident and something seems wrong.
And Kurt will go over to Dima and walk alongside him.
You walk up to the front doors of this building, and through the glass, you can see the reception area, where the orderly that had previously been seated there is now wearing a full-face gas mask. It's this close to the doors that you can now hear a deep and persistent humming, like there's some incredible machinery running inside this building. The doors slide open. You walk through following Dima, and in that lobby, the man behind the reception counter stands up and says,
Dima? Dima, welcome. I'm so sorry. I don't know what caused this one.
It is fine, Niall. I will say that we have very crafty wards here. It would seem. I promise you that this facility will not have this level of excitement for too long. I am hoping that once we have gathered everyone, we are able to move them to a more secure facility. However, if necessary, we can house them here indefinitely. Trust me. I appreciate your efforts. I am sure that the gas mask is unnecessary at this point. Assuming this took place back by the runes, you were likely never in any danger. Court, if you would, I think it would be appropriate to apologize to Niall for scaring him. Both you.
That is a good point. I'm really sorry, Niall. I thought people were going to be in danger. I did a stupid thing. I did not mean to cause you any alarm.
Oh, it's fine.
And he looks kind of questioningly at Dima before he more confidently turns to you and says,
it's fine. Just don't let it happen again.
And he kind of awkwardly sits back down and tries to make himself look busy. Dima, without saying a word, continues further into the building. He gets to the gated airlock that you had just left through and holds the door, and the two bodyguards standing behind you don't move until you do. But he gestures back to you and says,
Court, come. Let's go check on Helen.
Okay.
And Court will walk through the door, but as she does, she'll turn to Dima and say,
why did they have gas masks?
Well, you specifically have a tendency to make these grand escape attempts. I have learned to be prepared. Come. Let's talk as we walk.
Okay.
I have been doing this for a number of years. It is a long story how we all ended up here, but I will say this. I have learned to be prepared. I have had these intake facilities retrofitted with all manner of countermeasures to deal with this type of unpredictability. So, I am not surprised. I am disappointed. But it is, how do you say, come with dinner, Lord. Come along now. We are nearly there.
And he pushes through the double doors back into what you now know as the aphasia wing. And just a few doors down, you see the open door to your room. The air back here still has an acrid, almost acidic smell to it. But there's no fogginess or haziness. And though the few people that you see shuffling around are wearing protective gear, it appears to be out of an abundance of caution, as they're already scrubbing floors and walls.
I just want to let you know, this was not Helen's fault. She has been wonderful to me. I got kind of freaked out.
It is a matter of your condition. You're always going to be kind of freaked out, as you have so eloquently put it. I know that it is not Helen's fault. You can't help who you are. She's right on the other side of that door. Go safely. You can verify that Helen is okay. I will wait at the end of the hall. And then that will be that.
Okay.
There's a very short hallway, the same hallway that you saw opposite the door of the closet that you had just broken into and then subsequently out of. And you can see that door is still illuminated, and you can hear someone with a muffled cough behind that door, stirring about, seemingly flapping papers, maybe trying to, like, clear out some lingering bits of gas.
Port will hesitantly walk up to the door entrance.
You get to the door, and you can more clearly hear Helen kind of exasperatedly sighing and coughing and the flapping of what sounds to be maybe a folder of papers as she's, your best guess, probably trying to clear air.
Knock, knock. I'm bad at this. I'm sorry.
She comes, Helen stops what she's doing. You can't quite see her where you're at right now. She's on the other side of the door, but you can hear her approach and swing open the door, and she stops and looks at you.
Quartz!
Staring back at you is Helen in the same type of full face gas mask that the receptionist at the front desk had. The difference here is that you can see a few angry red spots around the outside of that gas mask where her skin has become irritated through direct contact with the chlorine gas that you had generated. There are some small blisters there, but she looks at you not wearing the mask, and you can see her kind of weigh things for a second, and then she pulls it off before she starts speaking to you.
Court, I guess I wasn't expecting to see you back so soon. But I'm glad that you're here. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm alright. A little bit of a cut, but nothing bad.
And Court's eyes linger on the, like, irritated skin.
I'm... Helen, I'm sorry. I didn't know that I was making something so dangerous, and that it was me. And I'm glad they're okay, relatively speaking.
It's fine, Quartz. Was that Dima that I heard out in the hallway?
And she gets on her toes and leans to look over your hat as she's trying to get a glance.
Yes, it is. On my way out, I pulled the fire alarm and was expecting to make a run for it. Didn't make sure people got down from a distance. But I ran into him, we started talking, nobody was getting out, so I got worried. So I came back in.
Oh, okay. Court, I don't blame you, but I do need to go attend to my wounds. If you'll excuse me.
And she sticks her hand to the side of you as if she's going to try and move around you.
Yeah, of course. Sorry.
Thank you.
And she pushes by, leaving you in the door frame. She walks up to Dima and she acknowledges him plainly. You can hear her say,
Dima, hello. I am glad you were able to make it.
And she leans in and shares a few whispered words with him. Court, do you want to try and overhear what it is that she's saying?
I can't imagine a time Court would not want to overhear a conversation.
Okay. This is going to be a DA challenge with the Court is captured crisis factored in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that is an additional D10 and one more D8.
So I'm definitely going to use the distinction, something is watching, the something okay. Being Court this time.
Okay, you have to beat a 9, just so you're aware.
Definitely. Also going to use scoundrel, trying to eavesdrop in on something that is not meant for me. And I'm going to use self-preservation, because I think this might have some lasting effects on what is going to happen to Court. So knowing this might change some of her decisions down the line.
That tracks.
Oh, okay. That is a 13.
So that is not quite a heroic success, but you are able to hear some of what is being said back and forth. Why don't you tell me, how are you being inconspicuous while eavesdropping?
Court is going to sit down with her back against the wall, and she is going to just slow down her breathing a bit, try to calm her heartbeat that's been elevated from this escape attempt and subsequent endangerment, and just try to focus on any of the noises that stand out from this incredibly sterile hallway.
So it's difficult to hear over the very persistent hum of the HVAC system running at full blast. But that works to your favor, at least somewhat, because Helen can't be quite as quiet, I think, as she would like. The words that you pick up from her during this exchange is a profuse apology first, and then the words data and preserved, and you think that you can piece together something being said about bait. But right as you're trying to piece that last bit together, she turns back to you and says,
Port, again, I want to let you know that I don't blame you for whatever happened tonight. I do, however, have to leave, as I don't think I have what I need to take care of these wounds here. I do hope, sincerely, that we are done with the excitement for now. I am going to leave you with Dima. He will be coordinating your care for the rest of the night. All right?
Oh. Definitely, Helen. I hope everything gets taken care of well.
I'm sure it will. I hope your evening goes better as well, Court. Now, if you excuse me.
Thank you.
Dima pats Helen on the shoulder and watches her down the hall before he turns to you and says,
Okay, there are one of two things that can happen right now, Court. You may go back to your room and rest. I am sure it has been a trying time for you. It is getting late, and so I would understand completely. Or, if you are feeling that sleep is not a possibility for you right now, you may accompany me to the conference room. We will take a walk to the other side of the building. You know, maybe away from this smell. And there, we can have a nice chat.
I would very much like to have a talk. That sounds nice.
Let us let these people work and scrub everything down. In fact, you might want to get up off that floor.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's go.
And he starts walking off in a direction past Helen's office and deeper into the facility. Do you follow?
Court will pick up the pace in order to catch up to him.
Okay. One of his bodyguards stops at Helen's office and maintains a position not far from those double doors to the wing that you had broken through not that long ago. But Dima and the other one walks deeper into the facility further away, and the deeper you go, the louder the sound of the HVAC. You go through another set of double doors, and this part of the building is dark. Dima waits for a second as the bodyguard moves deeper into the hallway, and the lights start to flick on and warm up, and it starts to appear a little bit more like the hall that you had just come from. While he's waiting, he turns his head to you, Court, and he says,
Did you know, Court, that this used to be a community health facility? I believe state-sponsored mental health, or something similar. Can you believe this?
Well, I get that vibe. It feels very much like that.
Yes. Very sterile. I am not a fan. It is not far into the hallway here. Just under me.
And he walks not but two doors in and opens the door on the right to what appears to be like an executive or meeting room. Perhaps this is where the doctors would have their status meetings, or maybe the board of the facility met. You're not 100% certain, but this is a very well-appointed room for how unremarkable the rest of the building looks. And Dima motions for you to take a seat at one of the high-backed rolling office chairs surrounding this long oval table and says,
"Please, Court, sit. Make yourself at home. Oh, I think you and I should discuss your care."
Definitely, if I get to sit in one of those seats. And Court will kind of get a bit of a pip back in her step and make her way to one of the very nice official plush-looking chairs and sit down, give it a twirl or two before finishing facing the table.
"Of course. Fourth, what do you know about Chicago?"
"Oh, gosh.
Not but 2.5 miles away, in the Broken Banjo RV park, at nearly the same time, there is a thick darkness hanging in the air that is just now starting to give away to the first milky streaks of daylight that backdrops the bare limbs of the trees overhead. The air is cold. The SUV has been running all night. Gas is low, and the stench of 7 people in a car is overpowering. As you all look around, waking up, one of the first things that registers with you is that someone's missing. You do a quick head count. There's Blanche, there's Tosca, there's Bruce, there's Jenny, there's Victoria, but where's Robert?
Fucking Robert.
We fucking called it.
Jackie, doing this head count, you notice that Robert is missing after looking through each of the individual people.
"Hey, did anybody let Robert out to pee maybe or something? Or he's not in here with us any longer."
Bruce is immediately making sure he still has his wallet. "That two-timing son of a gun! Do I have my wallet?"
"You do have your wallet."
"Oh. All right. Could be worse."
Robert has fled in the night. He took the opportunity of everyone sleeping and the fact that you've all been awake for 48 hours up to that point to free himself. To the best of your knowledge, I don't think anybody should be overly alarmed by that. Robert spent 2 days with you guys giving you as much information as he possibly could, reiterating repeatedly that he was only concerned about getting home to his daughter.
That's a good point.
Everything that you knew about Robert was that he had picked this up as just a job. Mm-hmm. And he was a throwaway character that you were supposed to knock out and never speak to again, that you've now dragged across multiple states and taken hostage. So, I think a reasonable act for somebody that was in that position would take any opportunity he could, no matter how friendly he was with you, to try and get away.
Oh, absolutely.
He did.
Yeah.
I could still see it going terribly sideways. I, like, as a player, logistically know why, just get him the fuck out. But in character,
Jenny's gone full mercy. She's tasted blood now, and she's ready to kill again.
"Now I want to kill him. He's going to go fucking rat us out."
It's the first light of daybreak, and Jackie has now roused the rest of the car with her announcement that Robert has fled. You all wake up feeling relatively rested despite the uncomfortable accommodations. It's been the best sleep that you've had in a while. You are in a bit of a pickle. You are in an abandoned camp with no resources in a world that is completely unfamiliar to you. And you have a friend that you're attempting to capture, and your only guide is annoyed that you're even there. What is the plan?
Hunt Robert down and murder him?
Jeez.
Wow.
No, so...
There's nothing we discussed.
Plans changed, guys. Jenny's going rogue.
Bruce, Jackie, and Tosca are going to go case the facility.
Jenny and I are waiting in the car.
How close were we? Yes. I think we have to, like, drive a little bit to get there.
2 miles. Yeah, yeah.
You could walk 2 miles. That's a 35-minute walk if you're doing it at a good clip.
In the cold, wearing UCRI jumpsuits? I don't think so.
That's a pretty quick pace.
That's a fair point, too.
Let's drive like 1.5 miles further. Then Blanche and Jenny can hide the truck while we go and see what we can see. Because when I initially thought about this, I thought it was going to still be nighttime, but...
Yeah, we realized that we wouldn't be doing it at night, so we had to readjust our plan.
Right. But we still got to case it regardless.
Right, 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 right. Yeah, we can drive up and find a drop point.
Where's a safe place for us to exchange clothes, Jenny? And no peeking, any of you.
Oh, God. Did you take all your clothes off under it?
Yeah, so Jenny just unzips it because she just put it over her clothes. So, like, so Jenny just starts unzipping. I imagine Bruce like covers his eyes.
Bruce, yeah, Bruce gets red in the face.
I'm scandalized.
She takes off the jumpsuit and gives it to you.
Bruce, she's still wearing her clothes.
Oh.
Bruce would be the kind of guy to get naked under a jumpsuit, though.
I wouldn't want to wrinkle his suit.
I just want to get this gosh darn Goodwill stuff, no offense, Victoria, off of me.
I will hand you the suit.
It's good to be nicely attired again, even if they are evil.
You're looking good there, Bruce.
Thank you. Right back at ya.
You're so welcome.
Look at the scruff. I'm starting to look like you.
It's been 2 days.
Jenny laughs. you're starting to kind of look a little bit like him minorly. Yeah.
Just like him.
So, in all this plan that you have put together here, where exactly am I supposed to fit in?
Victoria looks a little bit huffily back and forth between having... I guess surmise that she needs to be upset most with Tosca and Jenny.
Fair point, well made.
We don't want to have a Debbie Downer with us while we are casing the UCRI place.
Hey.
We're going to stay here.
Also, you expressed quite a bit of fear over them finding you as well as us. So
yes.
I figured you'd rather stay here than, you know, put yourself out there for them to find you. Am I wrong?
Stay here, like, in the car, right?
Like here in the car.
Yeah, you, me, and Blanche, we're going to stay here.
All right. Sure. Try not to die. At least there will be a couple of you left.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, you got two this time, not just one.
We'll do our best, Victoria.
Yep. Okay, have fun.
We will. I don't like your attitude, by the way. Just by the way.
If we...
No, wait, no. I got a problem with your
what?
Attitude, too.
Why you got a problem with my attitude?
All of you would have been caught, captured, or killed already
would
if
we?
It weren't for
would
me.
Would we, though? Really?
Yes.
I think we would have figured it out.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't have time for this.
No, of course not. Of course not. Never when Victoria has a problem.
When doesn't Victoria have a problem?
We can address your issue with Tosca later.
Yeah, fine. All right.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. If I wanted a wife, I would have married somebody.
Tosca, let's just go now.
Okay.
Yeah, Jenny's giving you, like, shut the fuck up face.
Okay. All right.
At some point, I do want to fill up on gas because that could be a problem. Should a chase ensue?
So me, Bruce, Jackie, we are, what, 1/2 mile away? And what's the situation look like? Is it just off a main road? What's the deal with where we're going?
Where are we able to park? Or are we able to park? Are we dropping off and driving back?
Yeah. You make your way towards this facility, the Professional Services Plaza. And at least that this address indicates that it is. And as you're driving down the road, it's rural. You're in rural Tennessee. There are a few buildings off to the side of the road. Most of them appear to be things like a used car lot or a Farm and Fleet store there with a parking lot that you could probably pull off into. And your GPS indicates that you're only about 1.4, 1.2, somewhere in that range of miles away from this professional services building when you come upon what appears to be an old Burger King. There's no current business there. There's a shell of what used to be a quick service restaurant. And the weeds and overgrowth from the parking lot, from the asphalt, from the surrounding lot, you think would probably provide some pretty decent cover if you needed it.
I'll park here. Wait, am I driving? I guess, because you guys are leaving.
Yeah,
I'll park here.
I can't drive.
I'll nestle back kind of by the bushes.
Sure, easy enough. Really fortuitous, because this seems like an ideal location if you needed to set up by the side of the road and not be noticed. You pull up, you shut off the car, and where do you go from here? You've got a bit of a walk in front of you.
When we walk there, do we have to walk down the road, or is there a way we can approach through the woods or a field, anything like that?
Let me give you a lay of the land. You are on, as is most of Tennessee, on a main road, and there is just a long stretch of civilization along this road.
Okay.
You get a little bit a ways off that road, and I use civilization in a fairly loose term. We're not talking about like a suburban environment here. There are buildings that provide services, there are businesses, there are clinics, but it's not so densely packed that you couldn't walk in between them without disturbing any of the people that own those properties. Across the street from the Burger King that you've parked at, there appears to be a large open field. There is a set of train tracks that runs not far from that road that has some type of wire fence that is blocking like your clear traversal into the field that lays beyond it. But there is a field that is behind that, and it is largely open. And you think that you could probably walk that field without anybody bothering you.
Okay. Then I say we head across this field and see what we can find. Do we have a way to maintain communication with Jenny and Blanche?
I don't think so.
Okay, so who has phones and who doesn't?
I don't.
I do.
I have my phone.
Everybody else does.
I pull out my melted, sad phone.
No, I don't have mine because it got burned in the car.
Okay, Bruce, can you leave your phone with them?
Because you have a phone.
Or I can leave mine. Either way, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Here, download this walkie-talkie app. I forget what it's called.
Here's my phone. The password is HANS.
I was waiting for more, but like...
Thanks, Bruce.
Are you always this fucking, like, wholesome, Bruce?
So wholesome.
That's my son, Daska.
All right, buddy. All right, well, we will return.
Oh, it's literally called walkie-talkie. Download the walkie-talkie app.
I'll be safe. Whatever. Victoria, fucking, if you want to leave while I'm gone, that's fucking fine
okay.
with me.
Okay,
and
fine.
I'm going to head off through the field.
Tosca, download the app.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm downloading the...
This episode brought to you by Walkie Talkie, available on the App Store.
Walkie Boo Boo.
Walkie Boo Boo.
Yeah, Walkie Boo Boo.
Hey, Walkie Boo Boo.
You're heading towards the field on the other side of the train tracks. You're going to ask Bruce to climb a fence?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
There's two of us. We can help him.
Yeah, we can help him.
We're Tosca... vertically challenged, folks.
Sure.
Yeah, we're both super tall, I think. Me and Jackie.
By the standards of this group, you're giants, yes.
Comparatively. Yeah. I was just going to say, how's that jumpsuit?
I mean, it fit Jenny, so.
Jenny's also very short.
Oh, yeah.
Jenny's like 5'2". They're about the same height, aren't they? Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Tosca, Jackie, Bruce, you all set off. You have to wait for a large truck, a very stark and utilitarian version of a semi, roll past you on the road, and then you move up across this main thoroughfare to the wire fence there. With the help of Tosca and Jackie after they scale it. Bruce, you are able to make it over the fence fairly easily, but your nice black jumpsuit is getting a little bit dirtied.
Come on.
In this whole adventure.
Just, did we leave one of the batons with them and take one with us, or do we have both of them?
You didn't discuss it. Which would you have preferred?
We'll just assume we have both of them.
You make your way through this field. It's cold this morning. You can see your breath fogging up around your face as you walk. But as you get close enough to this facility, you can see the address that you're supposed to be at. You look down at your phone, Tosca, and you double check. But yeah, this is the spot. And what you see in front of you is a large, low-slung, gray, unremarkable building. There's some, almost at like a half-wall height, like a pebbled exterior. There's an overhang roundabout in front of the door. Just very bland looking. If you were to order a generic office building off of, you know, Amazon.com, this is what you would get. It's nondescript to the point of being almost remarkable in how boring it is. The earth tones, the uniform windows, the layout that seems to appeal to no one, but also not offend anyone at the same time, has all the hallmarks of some type of institution.
And this has been true for everything so far since we left Florida, right? That same aesthetic, the same situation.
Largely. This building even more so than others. There have been some businesses that you've seen. There have been some things that are obviously designed to provide some type of like entertainment service, whether that be a dining experience or a movie theater that has a little bit more flash. But almost everything that you see is in some way... Bruce, were there Soviets in your world?
Yes.
Okay. Bruce, to you, this is remarkably reminiscent of the propaganda of what Soviet buildings look like. It seems utilitarian to the exclusion of any consideration of artwork or artistry.
All right. This seems like as good a time as any. Can we all start up our zippers?
Oh, you want to?
Jackie raises her eyebrows, but still pulls it up and down for him.
Me and Jackie both start zipping and unzipping.
All right. Bruce is going to try to tune into Spirit Radio.
The cacophony in this quiet, still morning of these two YYZ brand zippers blaring up and down these long jumpsuits is just enough drone to provide you to slip into a bit of the trance that accompanies Spirit Radio. What are you trying to discern here?
Okay. Definitely will take some input if we should try to discern a sense of court or get more of a general sense of the safety of the situation.
I mean, I
think
both.
Getting a general sense of the safety of the situation, you can't do both, right? It's either, and it's very vague
it's
in the way
super
that it says things.
Yeah.
Right, so maybe just like the overall situation rather than
step one.
Court specific.
Yeah, I agree.
Step one, get inside. That's what she said.
All right.
We can use the sound of slapping hose for you to go into Spirit Radio once we get inside. The cacophony of all these hoes being slapped.
We're back to your original plans.
Fine. All coming together.
All right. What specifically are you trying to discern from Spirit Ring?
Trying to get a feeling for how fortified this place is. How much activity there is.
Okay. The drone swells. You slip deeper. You can hear patterns emerging in the movements, the orchestrations of these zippers over their brass lines. You start to feel a message emerging from this. You start to feel like there's a thread you can grasp there. Bruce, I'm going to need you to build me a dice pool. I am putting together this as a D8 challenge with the crisis pool of Port is Captured, which is an additional D10 and a D8.
A quick question about that, something I've been wondering. System-wise, when you say D8 challenge, what exactly do you mean by that?
I've been wondering this too.
A challenge is rated by dice value. So when I say a D6 challenge, my base roll will be 2D6.
Okay.
When I say a D8 challenge, 2D8. So on and so forth. That number can be modified by any number of additional game modifiers that may be going on, whether that's a crisis pool or whether that's an asset or a complication that may be affecting any of you. It's malleable. But what I describe as a D6 challenge or a D8 challenge is the base number of dice or level of dice included in that challenge.
So D8 challenge would be the max. If there were no other complications, the max we would have to beat is a 16.
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay.
But Court is Missing adds a 10 and an 8?
Correct.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Right. And this is a particularly strong roll. So I have a 9 on the D10, and I have an 8 on one of the D8s. And I have no opportunities rolled because the other two dice are a 6 and a 3. So you need to beat a 17.
All right.
All right, Bruce. Do your thing.
I'm going to tune into Spirit Radio.
Okay.
And I use my relationship with Court, trying to find her.
Absolutely.
And then for same reason, going to use loyalty. That's kind of the crux of this whole mission. And I'm going to use manager based on the idea that I am trying to use these clues to put together a solution and a plan.
Okay. Yep. I'll buy all that. Keep in mind, if you have plot points to spend, you can either step up dice, you can add dice, you can do any number of things. Do you have special effects that would work for this? No, not really.
No, they're all stepping down, basically.
Yeah. Okay, so just keep that in mind. If you have dice that you want to step up, you could with plot points. Or if you wanted to add a D6, you could, although a D6 probably wouldn't help out much here.
Yeah, this is decent. I'm going to go with this.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That's a 17.
Okay, well, tie goes to the player, so you wanted to know how secure the facility is?
Yes.
The facility is secure. Something about this, something seems almost familiar to you. And looking at it, you can anticipate certain things about this building. You can anticipate that there's going to be somebody at a front entrance, and likely all other entrances will be locked and alarmed. You can tell that there will be multiple stages of security that you would need to get through that front entrance. Now, you could get through someplace else, and you're not quite sure what, because nothing in your experience that you know of has any way of informing you this, but you do believe that you could probably get in if you broke a window or something like that, and some of them may be safe. But you don't know which ones would be.
Okay.
So it's secure in the way a hospital is secure, not necessarily like a military.
Prison? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
I think the main security is all directed towards the front. So I do have the possibility of getting in the side or going in the front. I feel like we're going to have a lot to get by.
Well, the easier approach is smarter.
Yeah, I don't have much ability to bypass security.
Okay.
I think the best thing we have is that things don't recognize Tosca, but if there's actually people there, I don't think that's going to help.
So I guess at this point, with us being in the jumpsuits, do we try to sneak in ourselves without the others, or...
I think we should look and see if there's anything on the side.
Yeah, can we get closer?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nobody outside that you see. There are a few vehicles in the parking lot, including some nicer, what appear to be civilian vehicles. But in general, it's very sparse. You would expect a facility this size to have more activity, but it simply doesn't. One thing that does stand out to you as you are this close is some rather loud machinery running somewhere at the building. It's a very loud, I don't know, not like a whirring sound, I think is probably the best way to describe it.
Like an air conditioner?
Yeah, similar.
Okay.
Oh.
Air conditioner seems unlikely, though, given the temperature outside.
Right, right, right.
Spirit radio is going to be a cinch in here.
Can you just stay in spirit radio? Like, we just...
I've never tried.
Like push you through
like
in a trance.
Like, you're leading him around like some kind of, like...
Yeah, yeah, like a My Weekend at Bernie's, except... Sure. Yeah.
And he's just calling out...
waving
style,
at people.
Like, yeah.
It feels yellow here.
He's totally alive.
I'm in the gelato place. I'm finally there. I've achieved nirvana. All right.
Okay.
What you guys doing?
Let's walk the perimeter.
And there's fencing around this building, right?
No.
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 Okay. So no fencing around the building. So I think that we should try to see if there's any first floor windows that we could get into safely.
Or somebody taking a smoke break or something.
Right, right, right. And do we want to continue on this path now that we have a basic idea of what's going on? Do we want to leave Jenny and Blanche and Victoria out of this? Because I really don't want to go get Victoria.
How many plot points? Could I use 2 plot points to make somebody take in a smoke break with the door propped open?
Yeah. Yeah, I think for 2 plot points, you could probably do that.
I think at this point that we should find out if there's an entrance and then send them a message.
Yeah. Just to let them know that we're going in. Because we don't need everybody calling.
Yeah, but I don't know if having them come with us being this big group and 2 civilian dressed people with us in the jumpsuits maybe would draw more attention.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say the 3 of us go in.
I think you should give Bruce the phone. Since you 2 have the tasers, and he can be
okay.
Ready
yeah.
to go 911.
Here's my phone, Bruce.
If something
Please.
Goes wrong.
Call for the call for help if we get
yeah.
caught doing illegal shit.
Should I spend those plot points? Do we want to make some dude taking a smoke break?
Yes.
I mean, that would be fucking awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm cashed out of plot points now.
Okay.
Me too.
Where do you want the smoke break to happen? You're sending a message to Blanche and Jenny? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're letting them know that we spent 2 plot points so that somebody would go on a smoke break.
We're going to tell them.
We'll be back in a few.
Door propped open. We're heading in.
It's a walkie-talkie okay. app. We can just...
Oh.
It's like a walkie-talkie.
Door propped open. Oh. We're heading in.
As you're surveying this facility and noting the remarkable lack of exterior security, maybe the most egregious thing that you've seen thus far on that front is someone opening a door on the side of the building facing you. And he pushes out, and unlike you, he's not wearing a black jumpsuit. He's in a white shirt and what appears to be a pair of white work slacks, and he sets up He's got a loose jacket open at the front. He kicks something into the door frame and then squats down on top of a crate and lights up a cigarette. You can see as he exhales, there is an immense amount of negative pressure behind that door. Every puff that he takes is being sucked with the force of like a jet engine right back into that open crack door. And he sits there smoking and he pulls out a device of some sort and starts fiddling on it, staring at it as he cradles it between his knees. You're about, how far out were you?
Not very far.
Yeah, far.
In terms of yards?
50 yards.
You were less than a football field away from the boat.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're on the same side of the street, I would say.
Great. Perfect. Yeah. Okay, what do you want to do?
Pascal, this looks
well,
like...
first I'm going to say that shit is serendipitous right there.
Yeah.
And we're going to leave it
right there
and pick it up again next time
on What's In the Rift. This has been What's In the Rift. If you enjoyed our show, please remember to rate and review on your favorite podcast platforms. If you really enjoyed our show, you can support us directly via Patreon or join our Discord. Both links can be found at whatsintherift.com.
What's in the Rift is brought to you by Gas Station Drugs.